There are no passengers on Spaceship Earth. We are all crew. That's not my brilliant gem, but a gift from Canadian philosopher Marshall McLuhan. What a great way to sum up our purpose here on Earth. It's also my way of welcoming you to Legacy Crew, a podcast about how our choices, attitudes, and actions connect us with the past and the future. I've been busy talking to people from all walks of life who are passionately doing their part, and although they might not be wealthy, famous, or powerful, their positive impact is undeniable. They matter today as they will matter tomorrow. Hi everyone, this is Christina. Thanks for joining me for the second episode of Legacy Crew. I recently bumped into a high school friend and we started reminiscing about our teen years. I didn't particularly enjoy that period of my life, but it wasn't all bad. I'm sure we all had our ups and downs. For me, I was one of those angst-ridden teens, sitting in detention on Saturday mornings. You know, worrying about my identity and how I didn't fit in with the crowd. Oh, sorry, that wasn't me. That was Molly Ringwald in the 1985 movie, The Breakfast Club. I actually went to an all-girl Catholic high school and wore a uniform that just touched my knees. In any case, the Simple Minds song featured in that movie, Don't You Forget About Me, is playing in my head right now. Won't you come see about me? I'll be alone dancing, you know it, baby. Tell me your troubles and doubts, giving me everything inside and out. This song reminds me of Amanda Todd. Do you remember her? She was, by all standards, a typical teen living in British Columbia, Canada. She was the kind of young girl you might see at the high school that was featured in The Breakfast Club. She had a tremendous amount of energy, she had friends, and she loved to sing. In fact, singing was her passion. It gave her confidence.
Say a story, that face of an angel comes out just when you need it to. Yes, I paced back and forth all this time, cause I honestly believe in you. Holding on the tears, dragged on, stupid girl. I should've known, I should've known.
Amanda's confidence, as bold and shiny as it was, however, wasn't enough. She wasn't strong enough to defeat her online predator or the bullying at school and on the internet, and she tragically died by suicide at the age of 15. The song continues to play in my head. Don't you forget about me. Don't. Don't you forget about me. You may remember Amanda from one of the last videos she uploaded to YouTube. It was a simple monochrome video of her holding up flashcards as music played in the background. The flashcards described the bullying she experienced by an online predator, internet trolls, and by the kids at school. You see, Amanda made a mistake. Something teenagers do. Something we all do. Unfortunately, she made the mistake online in 2010, at a time when social media was still just emerging, a time before we were aware that, quote-unquote, nothing ever gets deleted from the internet. And it was a time before we really understood the dangers lurking online. Fast forward to today, and we are more tech savvy. Parents, educators, and law enforcement officials are more aware of the precautions we all should take when using the internet. And it's thanks to individuals like Carol Todd, Amanda's mom, who are working tirelessly to educate us all about internet safety, mental health, bullying, both online and in our schools.
Amanda, in her YouTube video and many of the things that she posted, she always said that she didn't want other kids to go through what she went through. And so from Amanda's words, I take her courage to say that and move forward. It takes strength to be able to share tragic stories. But this is, in my mind, this is Amanda's story. And I am just happy that I can be the person that can move her story forward the way she would want it to be shared.
Before speaking with Carol on the phone, I had already heard her speak in a variety of different YouTube videos, including her TEDx talk, her interview with CBC News, and her Walrus talk. So I thought I had prepared a set of questions that were unique and insightful. What I quickly realized, though, was that I was asking her the same questions she has been asked repeatedly over the past 6 years. But you know what? She didn't mind.
Even though Amanda's no longer alive, I still am fighting for what she needed and what should be there. And it's important to me, and that's why I can continue on.
What she needed and what should be there. Those words perfectly express Carol's motivation when she created the Amanda Todd Legacy Society, so that what happened to her daughter doesn't happen again to anyone else. Because when Amanda was having fun talking with other young people on a video chat site, she wasn't aware of the possible dangers. Through these online interactions, she received many compliments about her singing and her looks. And blinded by the flattery, she decided on one particular day to lift her shirt and flash her webcam, while, according to the CBC's The Fifth Estate, about 200 strangers watched on blog TV. Those quick few seconds were enough for someone to capture a freeze frame and post it to a porn site.
As parents and as adults, we need to make sure that parents know how technology works, what our kids are possibly using technology for. We need to, just like we monitor our kids outside playing and riding bikes and going to the park and we watch them, we need to watch what our kids are doing and learn about what our kids are doing using technology and make sure that they use it wisely. I mean, I use the analogy of learning how to drive a car. We don't hand the keys to the car. When a child turns 16, we make sure that they know, they learn how to drive a car properly. They learn the parts. They learn what to do if it breaks down, all those things. And so when a child gets a mobile device or gets access to using a device, we need to make sure that our children know what exactly that device does, the capabilities, the negativities, and teach them.
Aiden Coben, a 30-something-year-old man living in the Netherlands, used Amanda's photo to blackmail her. He cyberstalked her for 2 years until her death. In 2017, he was sentenced by the Dutch courts to 10 years and 243 days in prison for online fraud and blackmail in relation to 34 young women and men, not including Amanda. In her case, there are 5 charges, including extortion and child pornography, against Coben. In 2017, the Dutch Supreme Court approved his extradition to Canada. However, it has been on hold due to his Dutch criminal appeals. So Carol waits, encouraged by the bittersweet victory. In the fall of 2015, 3 years after Amanda died, Carol received a Facebook message from an online troll that read, "You are an alcoholic whore and you should just die like your daughter." Carol, who is active on social media, particularly because it is a vital tool in her efforts to promote the Amanda Todd Legacy Society, had 2 choices. She could get angry, or she could put the message aside, delete it from her mind, and move on. She chose the latter. A week later, the same online troll sent her another message, this time apologizing. Not knowing his intentions and assuming he wanted to engage her in more negativity, she ignored his message. Again, 12 hours later, he messaged her saying that he really wanted to apologize and would she please respond. This time she answered. She simply said, "Tell me your story." What she found out was that his father drinks too much, his mother has mental health issues, and his siblings bully him. He was lonely, depressed, and suicidal, and he was looking for help. Inspired by Amanda, Carol acted compassionately and began to communicate with this young man.
She asked me about who I am and why I tried to troll her. Real depressed. I was having a lot of thoughts of suicide. I just got off on messing with people. Not sure how I expected her to be angry, but however she reacted would have been interesting to me. I was like, wow, I can't believe she's like chill about it. I just made fun of her for her kid killing herself.
That was Ford, the young man who trolled Carol. Under this alias, he still maintains contact with her. She listens to him, she gives him advice, and he listens.
I am in contact with him. He messages me quite often to tell me what he's up to and what he's doing and how he feels. He's done a turnaround in his life, and he's volunteering now and doing positive things for people. It's nice to see. I definitely think that I have changed as a person after Amanda's death. I've learned a lot. When that trolling hate email came, the first thing I thought of was, if this was what my daughter went through, this is really harsh for a young person to endure. And I'm not sure what I would have done prior, but I know that I answered the right way when I answered that email from that particular person, right?
Carol's act of compassion makes you think, what if the kids at Amanda's school had shown her the same kind of compassion her mother had given Ford? What if they had decided to support her rather than torment her? Amanda's stalker blackmailed her into giving him more shows. She said no, and he sent her photo to all her social media contacts, which included her friends and family members. This started an intense 2-year period of anxiety and depression, drugs and alcohol, and bullying at school. Amanda endured both verbal and physical abuse. She moved to schools 3 different times to start fresh, but each time her stalker would track her down and her new friends would find out about her photo. Amanda couldn't escape. Stories that are alarming or negative in nature, the kinds that illustrate the dramatic effects on the victim, like Amanda's story, are effective in capturing people's attention and can be very useful as conversation starters or discussion points about bullying. However, when it comes to truly addressing the issue of bullying, Carol wants to see people give more attention and emphasis on the ways in which we can prevent this type of mental and physical violence from starting.
Being in the education system, I'm more about what we need to do as a prevention method and doing more things revolving around social emotional learning and emotional responses and peer relationships. And just human relationships is important, because if we can talk about these things and work on them with our young children at an early age, we could almost, and we would, decrease hopefully the amount of negative behaviors and negative response.
Carol is hopeful about the progress that's being made in schools. There are anti-bullying campaigns, posters, and conversations among kids, as well as with teachers. And in general, most kids agree that bullying is not acceptable. But as it is with anything, there are always those who don't follow the norm. For this reason, Carol encourages parents to start conversations about bullying with their kids at an early age. By doing this, parents normalize positivity as a response, and being kind or compassionate becomes a natural behavior. She also reminds parents to listen to their kids.
I think that communication is really important, and having that trustful, non-judgmental communication. So many times when our kids come to us as parents, and we as parents, sometimes we get frustrated and we get angry, but we really need to take a step back and look at the real thing, and it's that our kids are coming forward and trusting us and sharing with us. And so if as parents and adults we get so frustrated that we blow up at our children, they may never come back to you and share anything. And that's not what we want, right? Because we are there to help and to support them. And I think I just posted something. I found something on Facebook, and it said, if you listen to the little things your children tell you now, you'll build the trust, and they'll tell you the bigger things later, right? And because all through parenting and being a caregiver, we want to be able to have our kids trust us and tell us. And it's the only way that we can help them solve their problems or maneuver their way through life into young adulthood, so that they can be independent, so that they can be problem solvers. And it's not that, you know, I don't encourage as parents that when your child comes to you that you solve their problem, but you have to work through the problems and give them suggestions and give them ideas on you know, what might work, what might not work, and have those discussions. It becomes a talking point, and every family needs to have those parameters. And I know that life can get really hectic and busy, and parents have work, they have financial things that they have to do, kids are in activities, but we need to take the time that we need to make sure that time is set aside so that there is family talk time.
I don't think Molly Ringwald's character in The Breakfast Club had family talk time at home. The students featured in the movie kept their emotions locked up inside, but all they needed, all they were looking for, was someone to listen to them. The lyrics play on repeat. Won't you come see about me? I'll be alone dancing, you know it, baby. Tell me your troubles and doubts, giving me everything inside and out. Don't you forget about me. Don't. Don't you forget about me. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Remember to subscribe, like, and/or comment, and join me next time for another episode of Legacy Crew.